What you are about to hear is a transcription of an actual psychoanalytic session. Nothing has been changed. Explanatory notes have been added, however, to aid you in your diagnosis. At the end of this session, Dr. Siegfried Gestalt, world-famous psychoanalyst, will give his diagnosis of the patient. Will it match your diagnosis? Can you analyze this patient? He is an adult, white male, 30 years old, the only child of well-to-do parents. He spent most of his adult life away from home at college, where he was not only an excellent student, but also took part in extracurricular athletics. Since the recent death of his father, whom he idolized, and the more recent remarriage of his mother, the patient has suffered from severe attacks of depression, withdrawal, a near catatonic apathy, and often toys with the notion of suicide. He refuses flatly to take part in family activities. His mother and his stepfather have become extremely concerned over his behavior since he's broken off with his fiancée, insulted many of their friends, and has begun to talk to himself. There appears to be nothing physically wrong with the patient other than the fact that he is somewhat overweight. His mother describes him as being fat and scant of breath, which indicates that he might be asthmatic, almost certainly a psychosomatic condition. What is really wrong with the patient? Why this sudden change? Why, at 30, does he feel his life is over? The answers to these questions, and many more, are for you to discover. How good an analyst are you? Just a moment. The door is opening, and I believe it... Yes, it is. It is the patient. He's almost 15 minutes late. He nods to Dr. Siegfried Gestalt, world-famous psychoanalyst. Dr. Gestalt smiles and nods back. The patient... He's a pudgy man, medium height. I should say about 5'6" or 7". He's conservatively dressed. In point of fact, the patient is dressed entirely in black. Now, he's sitting down on the couch. His movements are somewhat lethargic, and he seems quite depressed. Dr. Gestalt has opened his notebook. The patient has just taken a Kleenex. There is a box of Kleenex immediately beside the couch. And now we will hear Dr. Siegfried Gestalt, world-famous psychoanalyst, and his patient in psychoanalysis.
Well, now, I understand that you've been having a little difficulty at home, yeah?
You must needs have heard how I am punished with sore distraction. What I have done, I here proclaim, was madness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can accept that. And how did this madness of yours manifest itself?
Sir, in my heart there was a kind of fighting that would not let me sleep.
Are you taking notes? If you have said schizoid tendencies, you are correct.
Do you have this feeling often?
I am but mad north-northwest. When the wind is southerly, I know a hawk from a handsaw.
The patient is being facetious, an obvious attempt to deny his problem by making light of it.
You say that you are troubled by insomnia and this feeling that you are divided against yourself. This must make life difficult for you, yeah?
I have of late, but wherefore I know not, lost all my mirth, forgone all custom of exercises. And indeed it goes so heavily with my disposition that this goodly frame, the earth, seems to me a sterile promontory.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I see, sterile promontory.
Dr. Gestalt obviously feels that it's too early in the session to investigate what sterile promontory means to the patient, since this is obviously a loaded phrase. To examine this now would probably mobilize a great deal of resistance on the patient's part and would hinder establishing a positive transference. There is, however, another phrase that might lead to something. The patient has stated that he has forgone all custom of exercises.
Tell me, why is it that you have stopped exercising?
Yes. It appears that Dr. Gestalt has struck a sensitive area. Apparently, exercise or the lack of exercise does have some bearing on the patient's problem. What this is, we shall see in just a moment. The patient is lying with his right arm over his forehead, protectively. He's beginning to perspire. And now the patient's lips are moving as if he were trying to answer. The patient is struggling with himself, trying to overcome his own resistance. And now we will see if... Yes. Yes, he is. He is going to speak.
Oh, that this too solid flesh would melt, thaw, and resolve itself into a dew. or that the Everlasting had not fixed his canon against self-slaughter.
The patient wishes that he could lose weight. He is troubled by an excess of flesh, which he feels is too solid. The Everlasting, or God, of course, refers to the patient's father. The patient cannot lose weight because of his father's prohibition against self-slaughter or self-abuse. The patient's choice of words here is extremely revealing. Notice, for example, the phrase, fixed his canon.
Oh, God. God, how weary, stale, flat, and unprofitable seem to me all the uses of this world.
The world seems unprofitable to you?
Fie on't, ah, fie. It is an unweeded garden that grows to seed. Things rank and gross in nature possess it merely.
The world no longer tastes good to the patient. He finds it stale and flat. The unweeded garden that is allowed to grow to seed and is neglected refers to the patient himself. A garden which grows to seed has reached full maturity. The garden has fulfilled itself, but is of no use to those who planted it. The mature garden contains weeds which are rank and gross or fat. If the patient could weed the garden and destroy the fat part of himself, he would be cared for. An obvious desire to return to childhood by shedding his maturity or masculinity.
That it should come to this. But 2 months dead. Nay, not so much, not two.
Why is the patient confused on this point?
So excellent a king that was to this. Hyperion to a satyr.
It is the patient's stepfather whom he is comparing to a satyr.
So loving to my mother that he might not beteem the winds of heaven visit her face too roughly. Heaven and earth, must I remember?
That is the only way that psychoanalysis can help you. We must face the truth about ourselves, no matter how painful. And now you say that your father was extremely loving to your mother. How did she feel about him at this time?
Why, she would hang on him as if increase in appetite had grown by what it fed on.
The patient describes his mother's feeling for his father in terms of food. Remember that the patient thinks of himself as a garden gone to seed, no longer able to bear fruit. If the patient equates eating with loving, how must he feel about himself as a love object?
And yet, within a month. Let not me think on't. Frailty, thy name is woman.
The patient does not seem to be aware that he has made a striking insight into his problem. Frailty, thy name is woman. Women are frail, i.e. small and weak, as opposed to being strong and fat. The patient is troubled by his fatness and wishes to become thin or frail, like a woman.
A little month. Or ere those shoes were old with which she followed my poor father's body. Like Niobe, all tears.
Here we have the image of the patient's mother, all tears. This is another recurrent image. How does this relate to the patient's desire to resolve himself into a dew?
Why, she. Even she. Oh, God, a beast that once discourse of reason would have mourned longer. Married with mine uncle, my father's brother. But no more like my father than I to Hercules.
Here the patient is fishing for a compliment.
Within a month, ere yet the salt of most unrighteous tears had left the flushing in her galled eyes, she married. Oh, most wicked speed, to post with such dexterity to incestuous sheets. It is not, nor it cannot come to good. But break my heart, for I must hold my tongue.
What does the patient really mean when he says that he must hold his tongue? He's lying rigidly on the couch. His face is flushed. He's breathing heavily. He has started to fiddle with a dagger.
A moment ago you mentioned that your uncle or your stepfather was... at any rate, I detected a certain amount of resentment towards him, did I not?
Bloody, bawdy villain. Remorseless, treacherous, lecherous, kindless villain. Ah, vengeance!
That's right. Just let it out. It is very painful to carry around all this feeling of hostility bottled up inside, isn't it? Come now, you must not be afraid to talk to me. So you have this hostility towards your uncle.
It is but foolery. But it is such a kind of gain-giving as would, perhaps, trouble a woman.
Yeah, I see, yeah.
Make a note of that statement.
It is a pity that we have to stop now, just when we have got into something very interesting. Between now and our next session, you might think about in what situations you feel like a woman. Unfortunately, we don't have time to go into this now. Our time is up.
Time is out of joint. Oh, cursed spite that ever I was born to set it right.
Yeah. Well, I'll see you at the same time next week.
The patient has risen from the couch. He shakes hands with Dr. Siegfried Gestalt, world-famous psychoanalyst. The patient seems even more depressed than before and seems reluctant to leave. Dr. Gestalt hands the patient his dagger, which he'd forgotten. The patient did give us a bad moment or two in the latter part of the session when it appeared that he might discover the microphone hidden in the box of Kleenex, which would, of course, undermine the patient's confidence in the analyst. This concludes the psychoanalytic session, qua psychoanalytic session. If you have taken careful notes, you should have sufficient material at hand now to make your diagnosis. Stop the record, correlate your notes, and then compare your diagnosis with that of Dr. Siegfried Gestalt, world-famous psychoanalyst, which follows on the next band.